Morning. So before I get started, I just want to say this isn't following the lesson this morning, but there's little handouts by the bulletin, a little bit of reflection and some thought process, and also a memory verse. And you can throw that PowerPoint up there, Brother Paul, when you get a second. But we're going to be talking about faith. So on here, I have a memory verse. It's Hebrews 11:6, and then three questions that deal with the lesson today, and there will be another one next week and the one after. But they're out by the bulletin if you want one. If you don't want one, you don't want to fill it out, no problem. But just that way, that is out there for you guys. And then Pastor wanted me to teach on faith. And faith is one of those topics that you can really go a lot of different ways on teaching. But I kind of have a three-week plan, and this is what I have as of now, if it doesn't change. But I really want, as you guys can see, is faith that stands. I want us to have a faith that stands. So the 3 weeks, the first week, this week, I'm going to talk about the foundation of faith. I'm going to define what faith is, what faith isn't, where faith comes from, and why it's important in a believer's life. So that's what we're going to do this morning. And next week, I'll just give you guys a little sneak peek. I'm going to talk about the function of faith, how faith works, how it's not passive, but it's active and obedient. So that's next week. So if you're not satisfied with this week, you got to come back next week, hear it again. And then if you're not satisfied after that, after the preaching conference, come back. And we're going to talk about the formation of faith, how faith is shaped, strengthened, and stretched through trials and time. So I'm pretty excited. It's just exciting. So you guys can turn to Hebrews 11. We're going to be in Hebrews 11, and we're going to be flipping around a little bit today. This morning, I'm going to try to slow things down a little bit and actually turn to different references. I tend to just read all my cross references, but I'm going to have us turn to those. But normally, my experience with Sunday school was back home in Treasure Valley, and I would teach third and fourth grade boys. So you guys got to do me a favor. During the lesson, I want you to look at your neighbor, pull their hair. I want you to draw on the walls. Really make me feel like I'm comfortable up here, because that's what I'm used to for Sunday school. But I am excited. Thank you, Pastor, for the opportunity to do this. It's definitely a good opportunity. As you were saying, I appreciate all the open doors I've had here. It's been a blessing. I've definitely grown a lot, and I've also made a lot of mistakes in growing and the growing pains, but the Lord is good. On Friday, it was 1 year ago I moved up here. That's pretty crazy for me to believe that. It's been a year already, but it's just exciting serving the Lord. They say time flies when you're having fun, so we must all be having fun because time's flying. So this morning, as we're going to define what faith is, I'm going to read just the first six verses in Hebrews 11. We're not really going to lock in on all six verses, but I don't really like skipping verses and choosing 1, 2, and 6. So we're just going to read all six verses in Hebrews 11, verse number 1. It says, "Now faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead, yet speaketh." Verse number 5 says, "By faith Enoch was translated, that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God." That's a good testimony that we should all strive for. But verse number 6, this is a verse we're all familiar with. It says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Let's pray real quick. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to teach Sunday school. Lord, I pray that you would help me, Lord, to get out of your way, Lord, that your word would be magnified this morning. God, that we would leave here learning something new about faith. Lord, that it wouldn't just be a habit that we're here, but Lord, that we would apply our hearts to your word. Lord, I just thank you again for the opportunity in this church. Lord, we love you. We just pray that you get all the glory through all the services this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So the first thing we see here in Hebrews 11, verse number 1, is that faith is confidence. Faith is full confidence in God. It says, "Now the substance of things hoped for." The way I would kind of describe it is as a builder, right? Pastor just built his house, but you see the blueprints, and you see the blueprints, and that's good enough, and then you start pouring the concrete. And why is that? It's because you trust the process. You see the plan. You see what's going to happen. Well, the same thing is true in our life, is God maybe gives you a blueprint, but you don't see the final product. Our job is just to start pouring the concrete. Our job is just to start getting busy. Another thing I could relate that to is the world of Amazon. Who in here orders from Amazon? Everybody's hand should go up, because I know everybody orders from Amazon. But when you order your Amazon package, You pay for the free shipping. It tells you expecting next week, but you still check your mailbox 6 times a day in hopes that it comes early. Maybe that's just me, but why is that? It's because we trust the process. We know how Amazon works. We trust the system. But how much more should we trust God and God's system? We don't doubt our Amazon package coming in next week for free shipping, but we doubt God's going to see us through to the end. We don't have that confidence that we ought to have in God. So we see that faith is confidence, but there's a few things that faith isn't. If you want to turn to 2 Timothy 1:7, again, this is all going to be stuff that we're all familiar with, but things that I believe are good to be reminded of as we go through our daily lives. But 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 7, it says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." One thing that faith isn't is faith is not fear. The devil will try to make us worry. He'll try to make us fearful. He'll try to make us uncomfortable. We can look at the way that the country's going. We can look at what's happening in Israel. And we can become fearful of that. We really can, but that's not faith. We have to know that no matter what happens in America, when it's all said and done, we're going to be with God. Amen. That's faith. Amen. That is faith. If you turn over to Ephesians 2, we're going to go to verse number 10. The way the Bible lays out, it's Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. There's a few ways you can do that. I always learned General Electric Power Company, but I also heard Gentiles eat pork chops. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. So hopefully that helps you. I used to get confused, but if you just remember, oh, Gentiles eat pork chops. There you go. That's the layout of those four books. But we see here in Ephesians 2, verse number 10, it says, "For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Another thing that faith isn't is faith isn't insecurity. I think insecurity is something that everybody battles, at least to some extent. If you don't battle with insecurity, you're going to teach next week and we're going to see that. but we are his handiwork. We're his workmanship. God created you specifically the way he wanted to. That's an amazing thing. The way you look, the way you act, your abilities, your disabilities, your weirdnesses, right? Everyone's got weirdnesses. And if you say, "I don't think we have any weird people in this church," bad news for you. No, we all have different things, but God created you for a good work. So you say, "Oh, I'm not the best speaker, or I'm not the smartest," and maybe you're not, but God still created you the way he wanted you to be made.
That's right.
And he created you for good work. And if you allow your insecurity to get in the way of that, that's going to destroy your faith. There's a lot more people in this world that are smarter, better speakers, all these things than I am. I don't completely understand why God calls me. I mean, the Bible says that he uses the weak and he uses the foolish, and that's definitely me. But if I get caught up in my insecurities and my disabilities and my distractions and all these things, then that hinders what God is trying to do. And the same thing could be true in your life, is maybe there's somebody God's wanting you to reach, but you're worried about, what are people going to think of me? It doesn't matter. Okay, it doesn't matter what people think of you. It matters what people think about God. And that's the biggest thing. If Jesus is shining through, your insecurity should go down. If your faith is going up, your insecurity should go down. But then the next thing we see here, what faith isn't, is we see that in Philippians 4, 6, we can just turn there, we're close. Gentiles eat pork chops. We're on eat, so head over to pork. Philippians 4, verse number 6. The word of God says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." This is a hard one, but what faith isn't doubt, faith isn't worry, faith isn't stress, and faith isn't anxiety. And I don't want to sit here and say those aren't real battles. There is definitely mental illnesses that people go through. I'm thankful the Lord has blessed me. I haven't really been, I don't have those problems. And I praise the Lord for that, but that's still a real thing that people go through. And so if you're going through these anxieties, you're going through these stresses, you're going through these doubts, you're going through these worries, just every day just seems like a battle in your mind and you just can't get victory. The key to that is by prayer and supplication. And that's going to help your faith grow. That's what faith is. And I think those are some of the three biggest areas the devil is going to hit and try to ruin your faith, is in your fear, is in your insecurity, is in your anxiety. And we have to realize that those things are not of God. We have to fight those battles. We have to trust the word of God. We can turn back to Hebrews 11. Sorry, like I said, we're going to be flipping a decent amount this morning, but I don't think there's anything wrong with being in more Bible. I think that's something we all probably need. But we see in verse number 2, this is just a quick little thought I had on this terms of what faith is, and faith is confidence, but it says, for by it the elders obtained a good report. That means that the men and women of old in the scripture obtained a good testimony, a good reputation. And we understand that that came by faith. So my question for us this morning is, when our life is all said and done, when we're in the casket and we're 6 feet under, what is our testimony? Do we have a testimony of faith? Or do we have a testimony of, oh, I know he, like, he went to church, but you know, he didn't really stand out. And we stand out for the glory of God. I understand that. But do you have a testimony of faith? I hear just from a lot of testimonies here, and I say this time and time again, but I really am encouraged by the amount of faithfulness that's in this room. There's a lot of you guys that have lived a lot more life than I have, gone through a lot more trials than I have, but yet you're still here every time the doors are open. You have a heart for souls. You love the Lord. And that to me is an encouragement. But we're not, nobody's prone to never falling away. You could be faithful for 60 years and then just give it all up. So don't give it up. Obtain that good report. Amen. And that's done by faith. And we understand that God definitely works today. So when I say that faith is having confidence in something you don't see, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying God doesn't work. We've all seen God work in our life, but we've never seen the physical being of God. I know you guys understand that, but we've all seen God work, and that's that confidence. Every time God works, that's what builds our faith. But what I love about Hebrews 11 is, I can't dive into this too much, but it's just absolutely flooded with men and women who showed faith in times that seemed completely pointless. You think of Noah, and he's telling people, hey, God's going to flood the entire earth because we're evil. You need to get in this ark, and that's the only way out. You think people didn't mock and ridicule him? Just like today, you see all these agendas, whatever's going on, and we tell people, hey, look, God's coming back. The destruction of God will be on this earth. The only way out is to get in the ark, which is Jesus Christ. And you get mocked, and you get ridiculed. But are you still going to step up? When your faith gets tested, are you going to be a Noah? What about David? David, just a little shepherd boy, and he goes down and he sees Goliath. He's, you know, I think 9'6". I might be wrong on that, but I think he's 9 feet tall, 6 inches. That's pretty tall. That's pretty tall for me. I think David, I picture David as like a little 17-year-old, so I'm going to say David for the story was like 5'9". Let's say David's 5'9". He's a little guy. But he's going up against something that's way bigger than him. Way bigger than him. It doesn't make sense. It's the classic underdog story, David and Goliath. But when you think about that, when you're in your life and you're facing something that's way bigger than you, where's the faith? Where's your opportunity to show God that my faith is real? I have a faith that stands. What ways is God allowing you to prove your faith in a situation that might seem hopeless? So we defined what faith was. We defined that faith is full confidence in God. Despite the circumstances, despite what's going on around us, it is full confidence in God. We understand that it's not fear. It's not insecurity. It's not anxiety, worry, stress. So that's what faith is. We define that. So where does faith come from? Where does it come? Well, if we turn to Romans 10, verse number 17, we'll turn there real quick. Romans chapter 10, verse number 17. The word of God says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It's simple. Faith comes by the word of God. Faith isn't something that we can self-generate. It's your faith will not grow without regular Bible intake. It's water and oil. It doesn't work. If you're not in your word daily, your faith is going to take a hit at some way. There's that classic song we sang as kids, right? Read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow, grow, grow. Neglect your Bible, forget to pray, and you'll shrink, shrink, shrink. And that's true. You have to be in the Word of God. So my question is, how much are we in the Word of God? How much do we desire to actually hear the Word of God? And the way, the easiest way to determine that right here, I'm going to tell you right now, how often are you in this book when you're out of this building? And there's your answer on if you're really hearing the Word of God. You're wondering why these trials may seem bigger? Well, maybe this has kind of been on the shelf a little longer. And we're all guilty of it. I'm not in this as much as I should be, just full transparency. But I strive to be in it more. I want to be in it more. But that's where our faith is generated from. Our faith comes from the Word of God. I was talking to my buddy Marshall Wells. I feel like I bring him up a lot when I teach or preach, but he helped me disciple when I first got saved, and he just taught me a lot, and he was so just kind and gracious, so I just have a lot of respect for him. But we were just talking about how we desire to serve God. We desire to do things for God, and sometimes when you have to wait as a young guy, it's not so easy. He's in a situation now where he's kind of waiting on the Lord in different areas, and he wants to do stuff, and same with me, you just kind of wait on the Lord, and that takes an amount of faith as well. But he kept saying this phrase. He just said, just be a person of the book. And I really like that. And that's what I want to leave you guys to, is just be a person of the book. You say, well, I'm not a pastor. You can be a person of the book. You can say, well, I'm retired. You can be a person of the book. You can say, I work full time. You can be a person of the book. My challenge this morning is to be a person of the book. I love that. No matter what you're doing, you can be a person of the book. We make time for our shows, and there's nothing wrong with that. We make time to have our me time. But man, it's sure hard to find time for the Word of God sometimes. It's sad that it gets that way. But then when you get out of the Word of God, that's where your faith takes a hit. Is it worth it? Is it really worth going to church every single Sunday? Is it worth going to Sunday school at 10 in the morning? Is it worth handing out the tract? We know it's worth it, but when we get out of the book, those questions will come up. They will. I remember a pastor preached a message on faith, and he said that your faith should always be growing. Your faith should never stop growing. And I remember he said this phrase. He said, just take a second. That's what he said in the sermon. He said, just take a second and ask God if there's something that's stopping your faith from growing. And I remember the Lord just, I was watching a show that the Lord didn't want me to watch, and right when he said that, I was praying to God. I'm like, God, is there anything that in my life where that's stopping my faith from growing? And clear as day, the Lord just said the name of that show. And that stops you a little bit. You go, whoa. You know that conviction where you feel like God's thumb is this big? He's like pushing on your chest and you can't breathe. And it's like, oh, man. Like that. I experienced that. And so my question for you is there something in your life that's stopping your faith from growing? And you say, no, I don't have any sin. I'm in good fellowship with God. I'm in a repentant state. But maybe it's just as much as getting in this more. Maybe God's saying, I just want you in my book more. Do we actually hear the Word of God, so that we understand that it comes from the Word of God, but are we actually hearing the Word of God? I remember when I first got saved, I mean, I grew up in church, but the Word of God talks about spiritual blindness before you get saved. So I grew up in church, but didn't really pay attention because I was just a kid. I was a teen punk or whatever, and I didn't have any desire to actually hear the Word of God. I remember when I first got saved, and it was like every single service, I was like, wow, this is awesome. Like, there's so much in the Bible that applies today. I remember learning about the promises of God, that I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, and we know all things work together for good to them that love God. And I remember hearing these things and different things and getting excited about the Word of God, but August will be 6 years that I've been saved. That's not even really that long, but if I'm not careful, I kind of become deaf to the Word of God. Yeah, I know it's in there. Everybody knows that. Well, what happened? How did I lose that hunger for the Word of God? How did I lose hearing the Word of God? And I think if we're not careful, it can happen to us pretty frequently. So I just have three little sub-points on how do we hear the Word of God. Maybe this morning you say, I've gotten to that point, and again, in my life where I don't really hear the Word of God. I'm not really seeking the Word of God as I should. I'm not really letting it mean what it means. And so the first thing that I want us to do as we begin to hear the Word of God is cling to the canon. And what I mean by that is have the Bible be your final authority in all matters in faith and practice. Amen. If there's an area of your life where you say, I just don't know, like, I think God's more understanding than what the Bible says. I've heard people say that to me in situations where I don't know if God would really do that today, or it's a different time than when the Bible was written. That's wrong. If you don't line up with the Bible 100%, you have to understand that you're wrong and the Bible is right. And that's hard to do at times. There's a song by Sound Doctrine called The Blessed Old Book, and there's a line in the song that I love. And he says, if when you read it, you find something wrong, then there's something wrong with you. And that's true. That is 100% true. We understand in 2 Timothy, the Bible says that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. But why? Because verse number 17 says that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So the first thing we have to do, if you're becoming deaf to the Word of God, it's not sinking in with you anymore, you've just become, as a tradition, you need to cling to the canon. This needs to be your final authority. But the next thing, and a very hard thing to do, is you need to conform to the correction. You need to humble yourself to allow the Word of God to change your life. It takes a pretty strong sense of humility to admit that you're not the cat's meow, or you're not the bee's knees, that you're not the best there is. It's hard when the word of God convicts you. I've had times in my life where someone's preaching, it convicts me, almost makes me mad. How does he know about this? And you know, it can make you angry almost in a sense. But you have two options at that point. One, you change. Two, you grow stagnant. And that's a hard thing. But if the word of God is correcting you, conform to that correction today. And that's how you'll start hearing the word of God again. If you have a sin and a divide between you and God that you know about, that you're just unwilling to repent, that you just say, I'm going to take this with the grave to me, this book's going to become dull. And I'm just being real with you. The preaching's going to become dull. Living for the Lord is going to become boring. But we know that joy is Jesus others you. Yeah. And so conform to the correction. The last thing we see about really clinging to the word of God as your final authority is to count on his covenant. And what I mean by that is hold God to his promises. Hold him to his promises. God is faithful. When God says something, he will deliver. Right. Hold him to it. God, I think that would help our faith grow. And say, God, I know that you say when I'm lonely, you will never leave me or forsake me. And guess what? Guess who shows up? God does. This year, I've had definitely some of the most lonely moments in my life, just being here, you know, away from my family, away from my friends, and just meeting new people. And it's been a blessing being here. I'm not asking for sympathy at all. It's been just such an amazing opportunity. But that loneliness still comes. God, I'm doing what you want me to do. I'm serving you. I'm here. Why do I feel lonely? And then I'd say, but you'll never leave me nor forsake thee. And guess what? Just in special ways, he's just there. Right? How about 1 John 1:9? If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen. Stop holding on to your sin. When you confess it, move on. I remember one time I was struggling with some sin, and I just transparent, I didn't feel forgiven at all. I was like, I've confessed, I hate the sin, and I don't feel forgiven. God, if you just please send me a notice if you do forgive me, right? And I just kind of like, you said, your word says you'll forgive me, just please help me see something. I don't believe in mystical Christianity, right? You're not always going to have a fleece. You're not always going to have this huge emotional experience. That's not real life. But God's nice, and he's kind. And I was like, God, if you forgive me, just please, please give me a sign. And later that night, my brother calls me, and he had a church camp, and he was down at the church camp. And I was like, how was camp, man? How was it? He goes, it was good. I was like, well, what was your favorite message? Like, what was the Lord teaching you? He goes, yeah, well, one of the leaders, his name's Casey Doty. He says, one of the leaders was preaching about how we're the children of God. And how, just like when Casey has a daughter and Casey's walking down the road and the daughter will bump into him and she'll say, oh, sorry, Dad. He's like, no, don't worry about it. And then bump into her and say, oh, sorry, Dad. He's like, you're never going to like be mad at your son or your kid for coming back and saying sorry and trying to do right and walk the right path. And he had no idea what I was going with in my life. And I was just like, wow, that's pretty cool. That morning I prayed, God, please show me a sign that you forgive me. And that was the message that my brother had heard. And again, I don't believe in mysticism Christianity, but that was nice. That was me. God, I know you say you forgive me. Please come through on your promise. And he did. Yeah, how about when Romans 8:28? And we know that all things work together for what? For good to them that love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. It's really easy to say until you present us something that doesn't seem good. But hold God to the promise. No, God, you told me it'll mean good. And I think as we do these things, as we cling to the canon, the word of God's our final authority, as we conform to correction, and as we count on his covenant, then we'll begin to start hearing the word of God the way we should. And as we begin to hear the word of God, our faith will grow in result. That's right. So we define faith, and I'm almost done here. I'm on my last point. We define faith, what faith is. Faith is full confidence in God. We saw where faith comes from. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. But then we see why faith is important in the believer's life. And we can go back to Hebrews chapter 11. And we're going to look at verse number 6. And it says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So we see that faith is important in a believer's life because faith is commended by God. God is pleased when we show faith. And that's an amazing thing that we can please the Lord. I have just in my notes real quick, but due to time, I'm just going to skip through this. But some things that faith is essential for that please God's. But faith is essential for salvation. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So we have to have faith to even be saved. And people have faith no matter what. It might not be in God, but everybody has faith. Every single person has faith in something. Whether it's themselves, whether it's God, whether it's a job, whether it's a spouse, whether it's a status, whatever it is, somebody has faith in something. But the faith that pleases God is faith in him, and that's how we get saved. We understand that it takes faith and prayer. It's essential for prayer to have faith. John 14:13 says, "And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." We have to have faith in our prayers. That wayward family member, that wayward friend, that lost coworker, we have to have faith in the prayer, but we also have faith is essential for spiritual growth. In any aspect of life, if you want to please God, you have to have faith. I'll just tie in a funny illustration with this. I think about a GPS, right? How many of you guys don't like the GPS? Does anyone fight with the GPS as you're driving? At all. My grandpa, he's not here, and this isn't recording. He raised his hand in the back. My grandpa's not here, so I can say this, but when I flew down to Boise to pick up that trailer, we were driving back, and he's like, "Well, I'm going to go through the Tri-Cities or whatever." He's like, "I'm just going to put it in the GPS." I'm like, "Yeah, that sounds good. That's what I would do." You know, the GPS, it wrecks, speed checks, all this kind of stuff. It's the best way to go, right? So if you're not sold on GPS, this is my sales pitch. Just listen to the GPS. But my grandpa, he sits there and fights it. He's like, "Why are we going this way?" He goes, "Which way should I go?" He asked me that, and I say, "I think you should follow the GPS." He goes, "I don't think it knows where it's going." Sure enough, he followed it, and we ended up here where we're supposed to be. And the same thing is true when we follow God, is God's not looking for reluctant followers like the GPS, where you say, "I hate this GPS. It doesn't know what it's doing." And then we just follow it anyway because we have another option because we're in the middle of nowhere. God doesn't want reluctant followers. He's looking for confident trust. When he leads you and you feel like you're in the middle of nowhere and it's like, why am I? When you go through the Tri-Cities, you go through this weird way, you go through these like backcountry roads, and it's always weird when you're from Boise up to here, and it's like, why am I here? Like, it's not highway, you're like going like 35 in this backcountry road, and you're almost like, did I take a wrong turn? And nope, GPS tells me to keep going this way. Well, same thing is true in your life. When God may have you on the backcountry road instead of the highway, don't be a reluctant follower of that. Dive into that. Yeah. So in closing, we saw what faith is. Again, faith is full confidence in God. We see where faith comes from. It comes from hearing the word of God. But we see why faith matters, is it pleases God. And so before I leave again, I'm just going to repeat these little handouts. They're over there by the bulletins out there if you guys want one. The font is really tiny because I had it blown up and it was like really big. And then when I shrunk this down to print it like this, the font got really small. So next week, I'm going to try to have a bigger font. So if you say, "Man, this is really hard to read," I know it is. I'm sorry. But next week it'll be different. But I have the memory verse of Hebrews 11:6. Most people know it. If you know it, I want you to just meditate on it. And then I have just three application questions that you fill out on your own and you can put in your Bible, and it's something between you and the Lord. But the first question, it says, what is one area in your life where you're struggling to trust God? The second one is, on a scale of 1 to 10, what is your desire to hear the word of God? And the third point is, what steps can you take this week to grow in your faith? So if you want these challenges, meditate on this lesson. They're going to be out back by the bulletin. I'm going to have new sheets next week. I like to have stuff you can write down and you can see. So maybe you say, on a scale of 1 to 10, my desire is out of 1. Then you can see in 3 months when you're trying to strive, you can say, "Oh, now I'm up to a 7. That's exciting. Like, I've seen growth." But completely optional. You guys don't have to take this if you don't want. But they'll be out the bulletin until next week. I'm going to have new ones out there on Sunday. So if you want this one, you got to get it today. But yeah, so that's it for this morning, as we determine a faith that stands and the foundation of faith. So I hope it was a blessing. I thank you guys for being here this morning. And Pastor, I can turn it over to you.